Blog Talk Radio.
Down my music. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on. You know, when you think of music, you think of ringtone rappers, you think of, I don't even know what music is called anymore, but these tremendous two brothers and artists have truly encapsulated my heart. The first time I had them on the show was several years ago, and man, I'm yoked to have them back on. Without further ado, my boys from Meta Noise, what's happening?
Yeah, thanks for having us back, Don. It's a pleasure, bro. Like, it really is. We've been dying to get back and to chat about hip-hop and music, and especially this album, bro. Yeah, and you're one of our favorite interviewers, so.
Well, now you guys put the pressure on me. You know,
that's the point, man.
Oh, right? You know, when I first ran into you guys had a Tribe Called Quest Essence, and you know, you did 40-40-40, which was a tremendous aspect to who you guys are and what you're trying to contribute to the music world and the fans worldwide. But then I get this new stuff from Anarchy on Records, and you guys totally did a 360 on me. You not only have grown as artists, but I took away a little bit of Sly and the Family Stone, a little bit of P-Funk, a little bit of the psychedelic aspect. What was it that you found in yourself that correlated both of you on this new path?
Well, we found LSD. that's kind of true. No, but honestly, what it was, man, it was a mix of a bunch of different things. So for the longest, man, we've been talking about wanting to do an album that sounds like Retro Waves. We would talk about it kind of as a joke, almost satirically we wanted to do it. And one of the first songs that we ended up recording was High, which sounds very like Michael Bolton-esque to us. And we were trying to do that. We wanted it to almost sound like, wow, these guys really don't give a fuck. They're just kind of just doing this sound just because it sounds good. You know, they don't care if they sound like Michael Bolton. They just want it to sound like the way they want it to sound. And so it was a mix of that. And we thought we would do that project years and years and years later. We would talk about, oh man, we're going to, you know, hopefully we blow up as rappers. And then years and years and years down the line, we end up coming out with an album that has like a greatest hits kind of vibe to it. And just show the world that we could do that too. And with a trip that we ended up taking to California, we ended up coming back. That was actually right after we finished Lemniscate. And we were actually in the process at that moment with working on Retro Waves, and at the time with a different title and stuff. There was just a lot up in the air. We just had the instrumentals that we were working with and stuff, and there was just a lot of rough drafts. Yeah, so originally it was going to end up sounding like one of our, you know, our other songs that we've always done. And throughout the process of working on the album, we realized, man, these songs sound more like we're singing, like they're just regular songs. They're not rap songs. And then we wanted to expand on that. And we were like, you know, fuck it. Why are we waiting to be those artists? One day it just clicked. And here's where it clicked, man. I typed in one day on Google, or actually it was my brother. I'll give him the credit. He typed in on Google, best rappers alive, or not alive. Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. Best rappers alive right now. And, man, a whole list pops up, you know. And then you not only does a whole list pop up, but then you also have everyone else's top five lists and everyone else's top 20 lists and all this. And it varies. And of course it's going to vary, because who's to say Andre 3000's better than Jay-Z if you think Jay-Z's better for this reason and Andre 3000's better for this reason?
At the end of the day, hip-hop is a sport.
It's a sport.
Everyone has their opinions.
So there's that, right? It's always an argument. Where then we typed in best singers of all time. And Don, I got to tell you, man, a lot of them are dead. You know,
yeah.
A lot of them are dead, retired. And really, the only guy that we're up against is like Bruno Mars. Which
and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. You know, so it's like at the end of the day, we were like, yo, it's not even because you mentioned Justin Timberlake. My brother just mentioned Justin Timberlake right now. And, even he's kind of like, you know, towards the back end of his career. But, you know, we're starting to realize, like, there's nobody who's our age doing it the way Bruno Mars is doing it. There's nobody our age who's doing it the way Michael Jackson did it. And we were like, yo, fuck it. We could rap. But we could also do everything else, too. Why are we not utilizing all of our gifts and just showing everything to the world, you know, everything? So we wanted to go with something that sounded more poppy, just to prove that we could write hits. And we also wanted to just get, you know, pay homage to all of the artists that we've been inspired by for so many years. I mean, from Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, of course, Michael Jackson, Billy Joel. Yeah, I mean, you name it. The artists are just a mix, and this album is a melting pot for our vibe, basically the vibe that we've fucked with for so long, for so many years. So,
yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy because I've met you guys in Jamaican Queens. I think it was about 3 years ago, and
yeah.
We were there with Mad Squabbles and Young King.
Yes. Shout out to Mad Squabbles.
And then you guys end up doing a compilation together. Didn't you guys end up correlating some projects down the line?
No, it's funny. It's funny you bring that up. No, we did always talk about it, collaborating with Mad Squabbles. Also, Young King. Shout out to Young King, too. We just, you know.
Young Tuna.
We were, yeah, now he changed his name. He's not Young
Wild
King.
Wild Tuna.
Shout out to Wild Tuna. But, We talked about doing something, and, you know, things just kind of get in the way. I mean, besides coronavirus and all that shit, you know, we were working on Retro Waves and stuff. So, you know, and even beyond that, we were doing work, like regular work. Like right now, actually, as we're on the phone with you, we're at work. We got called into work, but our boss gave us a whole hour to do this interview. Because, you know, he knows that we do the music and shit. So, got to respect the grind. Yeah, you know. So.
Well, you know, talking about the virus, would you say that was a, you know, a lot of people look at it as a negative, but would you say that was a positive influence in your life that allowed you to complete the album?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to say. When it came to the coronavirus, I think not only was it a positive effect on life itself, and I'm going to go into it briefly as to why, people getting time to spend with their family, people being worried about their family, people realizing that they love their wife or husband, people realizing they hate their wife and husband. There was a lot of truth that was revealed throughout America and the rest of the world because everyone was on shutdown. So I think that alone was good for humanity. And then let's talk about the artistry. So for artists and anybody in the field of like movie making or music making and stuff, we were the crutch, if you will, for the world when everybody was bored. I mean, Don, try to tell me right now, what would you have been doing this whole time, if it wasn't for music and movies and TV shows and any form of video games, any form of entertainment, tell me, what would you have been doing besides anything art-related?
Well, you asked the wrong person, bro, because I took to creating and building my radio show bigger than it's ever been done before. I'm not a television aficionado. I don't really get into movies. I don't really get into TV in a whole. I used to be a video game freak. Matter of fact, I used to be one of the creators and moderators for PlayStation Home back in the day as an engineer. But the thing of it is I looked at this like you guys did. You know, I'm gone 32 weeks a year. You know, I didn't get to spend the ample time with my family when my son was coming up. I didn't get to spend the time with my wife. And so I took to that. I enjoyed that. Even though we were eating dinner in the cab of a freaking pickup truck, the value was still there. You know, the purpose was still there. We were still close. We came closer together than we ever have in our whole life. And I loved it. You know, as an artist and what I do, it allowed me to take my show to new heights. I'm averaging 1.3 million live listeners a show. I'm on 5 RSS feeds. I'm on iHeart, Univision, CastBox, which is a live transmitter. You know, and I got RSS feeds all over the world. So I'm pulling in numbers that I never expected from an organic show, but that's what I love about you guys, because you set the bar for what you wanted to be, and you did it organically. You know, how hard is it for an artist nowadays to create an aspect for themselves organically?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the way social media is.
Well, everyone's influenced by everyone else's sound. So it's true. You know, after a while, you know, we had to step back and think, here was what I thought, especially with the sound of our album, is I realized, you know, I like making hip hop. Yeah, it's great. It's fun. You know, but you know what our message was, man. We were talking about deep ass shit. We were talking about life and God and fucking death. And it's like, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to listen to that. You know, I wake up, I smoke my bong, bro, and I sit back and I play some funk music. Like, I want to feel good. And after a while, we took all those aspects, and I was like, you know what, why don't I make music that I would listen to instead of worried so much about what I think people should listen to. Like, listen to me, you know, speak my truth on this soapbox. You know, we were tired of being soapbox preachers. Nothing wrong with being a soapbox preacher, but we just realized it was time to, you know, take off that cap and put on a new one.
I want to make music for people to dance to, not people to cry to, you know. So, and especially with this album, we also, I'm sorry to cut you off, we also wanted to make a new happy birthday or a new song to listen to during Thanksgiving or a song to listen to at your wedding. You know, we wanted to make iconic, memorable music, and we figured that wasn't really going to happen with the route we were taking. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you guys have been everywhere. You know, you look at the virus. I'm 56 years old, which, God, I can't even imagine that I've been on this earth that long.
Still young and still kicking, brother.
Hey, I'm still hip, though, man. I'll do my dabs and get on some James Brown, bro. Let me tell you. Oh, James Brown's my favorite. You know, I don't know what it is. It's, man, with me, it's, I like a little bit of Samantha Fish, you know, the Cigar Box Blues. I like James Brown. I like that soul. But then I like that drop your panty kind of music too, you know. So when you throw it all together, it's really hard for me to find an artist that really resonates in my soul, and you guys have. And I think we should let the world hear a little bit of your music, you know, and then we're going to kind of try, you know, transgress a little bit backwards with the interview, because by the time we're done with the interview, I'm going to end up playing 40-40-40, because I want to show the growth of you two.
Absolutely.
Because you guys truly have grown, man. But if Michael gave me this in its right name and its right entirety, shout out to Anarchy Own Records. But I'm going to go ahead and play Fly. We're going to let the world listen to you, and we'll come right back in about 3 minutes and 36 seconds. How's that for you, fellas?
Sounds like a plan, brother. Enjoy the tune,
right,
guys.
Here we go with Fly.
Not feeling your touch. You get riled up, not getting your connection. What you is a dial up. You trying to trip tonight. With all this kryptonite, I have you late now. What have you hurting in time? I got a dime bag. In case I'm like a dime, not saying I'm bad. Michael Jackson, I'm fine. And I'll be back in time. Right before the paper wine. Jupiter crush me, spray. That's how I make you wine. Tremendous artist that I know it because I've seen you. You know, I've watched the growth in you. What was the inspiration for Fly? And I mean, there's so many elements in there. And you know, one thing I noticed comparative to most of your music, it was more correlated as both of you instead of one stepping out and showcasing the other. You know, what was it that invoked that song in both of you? Are you guys there? I think we might have lost them.
No. We were on mute. That was good for the second song.
Okay, you guys messing up my show, bro. Come on now.
Yeah, I know, right? That's how we do, bro. No, but check it out. So this is why we fuck with you, bro, because you can notice little things like that. And how you noticed that we both were on this song together. So what happened was we had recorded Fly after we worked on Honey and Trees.
So if you listen to Honey and Trees, you'll hear it's kind of like very similar, very chorusy. And the reason why that song was like that is because initially that song was supposed to be the chorus, or the chorus, I'm sorry, the intro to the album. So with that being said, we were trying to make it sound chorusy.
Like,
very,
yeah, like
very.
More like an intro. It was supposed to sound like an intro. And it ended up not being that. It, I mean, Honey and Trees ends up coming way after Fly now. Fly's the third song. Honey and Trees is, what, the sixth song now, so like three songs after. And the reason why we did that was because I realized, I was like, you know what? One, we don't have enough songs that we're doing that. And I was trying to go with more. See, initially, Cadis wanted to do the song like very Bobby Brown-esque. So it was supposed to just be like one of our voices, like, and if you do, it's in the word, baby, like just very like, you know, Bobby Brown-esque. And
maybe a little bit of Boys to Men kind of,
yeah,
whatever, kind of that style.
Classic one voicey. The first chorus or the first verse was going to be Cadis. The second verse was going to be Kadem. But right before we started recording that, I was like, yo, Kenny, fuck this. Let's just do the track like this. Let's just all of our voices together and make it more of a chanty kind of song. Something that sounds like you're hanging around with all of your family and your entire family singing it together. So we wanted it to sound like that. Like a
very full.
Like a full song, yeah. And I mean, we love the way that it came out, you know. It ended up coming out exactly the way we wanted. So it was just fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, it's fucking dope, dude, because you could picture that chilling with your boys at the barbecue. You could picture it just rolling down the street with your family or with your homies, and it's just it's got that laid back, that vibe, that feel good vibe. And see, that's what I've noticed has come out of a lot of your music. You know, to my listeners, if you're listening to us on iHeartRadio or Univision, please download this episode now. The more downloads we get, the more airtime we get in succession next week. You know, as we are live now, but you know, I got to keep the ball turning, people, and we got two tremendous men on the show this evening. You know, that's the only track y'all are going to get in its entirety because y'all got to go get the album. It's available on multiple platforms. You know, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I've never walked these steps on my path in my life. I'm 56 years old. We kind of brought up the coronavirus, the quarantine. Really, it's an artist's dream. You look at the suffering.
It really was.
You look at the pain. Yep. You look at the adversity and the people that overcome adversity through the darkness. It gives you guys a whole new genre, a whole new light, a whole new perceptive way of looking at life. Being that you guys are up there in the Poconos and New York City and areas like that, How much would you say that you've taken in that you guys can now correlate, put on a future album?
I mean, man, for a future album, you're talking about collaborations? Man, honestly, that's honestly one of my favorite questions, because my brother and I, we really want to at some point touch on working with artists like the ones we were inspired by. So, for example, like somebody like Anderson .Paak, who has worked with Smokey Robinson, you know, these certain artists that are willing to step out of their comfort zone and to work with the artist.
Thundercat did a track with Michael McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we're looking forward to. I would love in the future to work with Lionel Richie, with Billy Joel, with whoever's still alive that I used to listen to growing up. You know, if Michael Jackson was still alive, that would be a goal. It would have been a goal. Like, we need that to happen, you know. But anybody who has inspired my sound, I'm looking forward to, you know, collaborating with anybody in some way, shape, or form. If I just get Billy Joel on the keys, then I'll be happy with that. You know, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm able to show that I appreciate them and that they inspired us, you know.
Here's the thing about features, though, specifically even the word feature, is when a feature's normally on a song, you can tell, and I mean that in multiple different ways. So one of the ways is it says
the name of the song, and then in fucking big-ass parentheses, it just says featuring so-and-so in big, I mean, it's just like in your face that they're featured on it. Then when you start to actually listen to the song, 9 times out of 10, the feature sounds like a feature. Our boy JT, shout out to JT. Hope you get well soon, brother. With JT, he was telling us, yo, sometimes these features sound like these guys are recording their shit. Like, they had this verse written years before. They went to a completely separate studio and recorded the shit. It doesn't even sound like it's together. It doesn't even sound the guy didn't even sound like he listened to the fucking song. The song's about going to the club, and this guy's rapping about smoking weed and popping Molly. It's just, most of the time, features sound like a feature. What my brother and I want to do is make our features sound like a collaboration. Like a fucking conglomeration, like a symphony, like one giant song. And one of the guys who actually inspired us to do that was Tyler the Creator with his last album, Igor. Shout out to Tyler the Creator. That album was fucking fantastic. It deserved to win album of hip hop album of the year of the year from the start. And why it inspired us was because, man, I listened to the entire album, and it was great. I fucked with it so heavy. And then I looked back, and I was like, wait, that song was featuring this guy, and that song was featuring this guy? Yo, I didn't even know. I would have never been able to tell you that
blend.
It was the blend, exactly. It sounded like a fucking song. It didn't sound like a song that was then passed down to somebody else who then tried to complete the song. It sounded like the song was written together, like the way Drake did when he jumped on Kendrick Lamar's Poetic Justice. He wrote to the song. It sounded like one giant song. So that, when it comes to feature, that's what we're trying to accomplish in the future, more than anything.
You know, the most wonderful thing I've realized about you, too, and, you know, family's hard enough to get along with each other, let alone your twin. But yet, you guys seem to inspire each other. You guys seem to motivate each other. What was the difference that made you both realize that, you know, we're not going to bicker, but we're going to grow off of each other. We're going to teach each other, you know, different aspects instead of arguing. What was the difference in your guys' career since you got into music? Because I remember looking back to when I had you on when you dropped 40, 40, 40, and the perceptiveness and the close family bond between you two seems more prevalent now than it ever has.
Mm. Yeah. Well, again, you know, we did take acid, and I will say this. I mean, especially with COVID obviously going on and stuff, that made families, again, get closer together and whatnot. My brother and I have never had necessarily a job separated from each other either. We do that on purpose. We don't have separation anxiety. We do, but we don't like to talk about it. We work together all the time, you know, literally with just making money besides working together on music. So that bond has grown stronger than ever because we're still working together, you know. So that's one reason. But again, you know, what I was going to say was this. One of the things that keep us in check more than anything, Don, is the fact that we can – because, man, our arguments get bad, man. They get really, really bad. And anybody would think that this is it. You know, like, we're done. I mean, how many times have I, quote, unquote, quit Metanoise? You know, but in that moment, it feels like – I don't know how to explain it. It feels like I'm lying.
The biggest breakup of all time that you just know is never going to
happen. It's never going to happen. Okay, yeah, perfect example. You know those very, very toxic relationships where they're constantly breaking up and you look back and everyone looks at each other and they just go, you already know they're going to get back together. You ain't got to worry about it. 2 days from now, give it 2 days, they're going to end up back together. And here's the thing is, I mean, I'm not calling our relationship toxic. Where I've realized this changes is – We're brothers, and not only are we brothers, but man, Don, I kind of wish that I could because I would have been stopped doing this, but I can't even imagine not doing it. I can't imagine not doing it, and then I can't imagine not doing it with my twin. So it's almost like a fucking mental illness, if you will. Like, it's like I can't imagine not doing it. So as much as I want to be like, fuck you, and I just want to stop doing it, I can't. I sit in my room alone, and I'm like, it's not going to happen. We're going to end up still writing music. We're going to end up still being best friends. It's just impossible. It's impossible to hate him, and it's impossible to hate music.
It's as short as this, Don. Blood is thicker than water.
Blood is thicker than water, exactly.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and we love
always.
Music so much.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's evident. You know, Retro Waves, the LP dropped on multiple platforms July 20th. But, you know, you look back in your career and you've got critical acclaim, positive reception, and an insatiable fan base. You guys are just constantly growing. You know, how does it feel for you to go from just the guy on the corner to now you're recognized? You know your music is making a difference. You know your fan base is growing. The world is becoming more receptive to the product that you're putting out. What does it mean to you fundamentally as an artist?
Man, it is obviously the most important thing to any artist. I can't stress it enough, man. Shout out to anybody who is listening right now. That person, you, the listener right now, I appreciate you, especially if you tuned in just to listen to Metanoise because you know Metanoise and you respect our music and stuff. And shout out to anybody who's doing it for Don McGuire, because that's why we do this, is for you. We do it for ourselves too, trust me. I mean, if it were up to all artists, I think Don would agree, hey, fuck everything, fuck everybody, I'm going to do this for myself because I want to do it because it makes me happy. You know, but that's what art is. It's this beautiful disaster, and we love to make it for people to listen to or to watch or whatever it may be. So with that being said, seeing our fan base growing in any way, shape, or form is the biggest blessing any person can ask for. There's not an average, you know, average people don't walk into Walmart and stuff and get stopped and be like, you're Metanoise, right? You know, and that, it doesn't happen all the time. I'm not going to sit here like the cocky bastard. You know, it's once in a blue moon, and that's all I need is once in a blue moon to just be reminded, appreciate you for what you've been doing.
I'm doing something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people are clearly, bro, I mean, we work at Domino's right now. We've had multiple times where people walk in, and they're like, hey, y'all make music, right?
No, but
I mean, to let them see us in a Domino's outfit and then know, wait a minute, weren't you in a video with Chris Rivers?
Yeah, but it's crazy because I was going to say, I'm trying to, like, grab the phone from Kenny, and he's moving further away from me. No, but I wanted to mention that. It's funny because we recently had it happen. Somebody walked into the Domino's, and I swear to God, Don, they go, oh, you guys are Metanoise, right? Yeah, you guys did the video with Chris Rivers. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. You know, my head starts getting bigger. I end up going home, and I told my girl about it, and I'm, you know, I'm really excited. I'm like, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And she's like, see? You guys are doing it. You guys are doing it. You guys don't think you're doing it. And I tell her, I'm like, yeah, but, you know, that happens like once a year, right? Yo, Don, I'm not even fucking with you, bro. The next night, the very next night, it happened again. And I had to text her and just be like, yo, never mind about saying it happens once every year. It literally just happened again tonight. So, you know, it happens, man. And shout out to all the meta humans out there, the meta nerds, whatever you see you guys want to go by. We love you so much, yo. Thank you so much for all the love and support.
Yeah, you know, it's tremendous, man. I learned to love you. A brother of mine, Marco Hudge, turned me on to you guys. And
hey, shout out to Marco Hudge.
And it was like, oh, my God, where have these guys been my whole life? Because it's kind of crazy. Like I said, I'm 56, and I don't like any of the shit that's coming out now. I'll just be straight up honest. I don't give two shits because it's not music. It's not music. You know, and people could be upset at me. Hey, I don't do my music show 20 times or 50 times a year because it's something that sits in my heart. If I'm going to do a music show, I'm going to represent the industry the way it should be. I'm not going to water down my show for nobody. And that's why I love having you guys on. When Michael hit me, I was like, yeah, most definitely, because not only do you guys are, I guess the best way to put it, you're multi-genre. You never looked at music in one diverse aspect. You looked at it in a diversity a complex, wide open aspect. Now, one of you did a remix of Billy Joel and did a video of it. You know, what had that come to apparition?
That's funny. That was actually, shout out to Ben Gorski. So one of our best friends who's also signed under Anakian Music, he actually ended up just, they're hanging out, you know. He is one of those guys.
I had just finished, I was hanging out at my house, and I was like, let me hit up Ben. And I went over, and I saw, as soon as I walked into the house, Ben was with his significant other. And they're sitting there, and Ben's playing, and he has the mic out. He has all the shit out. And I'm like, oh, y'all are jamming in here. So I just fucking, they're like, yeah, you want to do something? And I'm like, yeah, yo, let me throw on some karaoke beat, you know. And, of course, you know, if it comes down to what song I'm going to sing, it's probably going to be around, like, Billy Joel or something like that. So I didn't just pick Billy Joel, but I picked my favorite Billy Joel song and Billy Joel's favorite song, Vienna, which is, you know, I just love singing it when I'm in the shower. So I was like, hey, you know what? If I'm going to sing any song, it's going to be this one right here. And I just wanted to point out that I kind of fucked it up. I actually missed one of the verses, and I was like, fuck, that's one of my favorite verses. But yeah, actually, you want to hear something cool about that real quick. We actually had Billy Joel's pianist or something. His guitar.
One of his band members ended up hitting us up and saying, yo, I saw the video. I just wanted to say, like, I appreciate it. And it was so amazing because, long story short, we ended up finding out that he has his own little cover band that he does Billy Joel music on the side without Billy Joel, and he'll tour and do that. And he actually came to the Poconos and did a show and stuff. And we were really close to meeting up with him, but we had to work, unfortunately. But yeah, you know, like, it's that kind of shit that comes into fruition from just a random you know, why not kind of moment, you know.
Yeah, I loved it. I gotta be honest with you, but we're gonna jump into a little snippet of Fuck It Funky right now. I wish I would have asked Michael for a little bit longer of a cut, because he only gave me a minute and a half. That's generally what I play. But man, I'm finding out that you need more from you guys, because a minute and a half, you guys are just getting warmed up in a song. You guys are just getting started, but we're going to go ahead and drop that little snippet right now. If you want to hear the album, you can get Retro Waves on all the major platforms right now, people. And trust me, I've listened to the album. You truly want to do it. Here we go with Fucking Funky. James Brown kind of vibe, bro. Because that, you take it from James Brown into kind of a new real contemporary, but you bring it back down with a soulful funk. You know, what was the aspect behind that song, bro? And it got me on mute again.
Every time, brother. Oh, Lord.
I love how he knew that.
And you probably mute us already, too. That's the funny part. So, as I was saying before I was muted, so fucking funky, the thing that's really cool about this song was it was actually written. Okay, let's just say this. So, Metanoise, we have two secret ingredients when it comes to our music, and we call it the rabbit holes and the happy accidents. So, this whole song was a happy accident. Kind of. So what it was I woke up one morning and we were very close to Retro Waves being done, being finished recording and mixing and mastering and stuff. And our producer ended up just sending us a track, and it was actually labeled. I want to just put this out there. Shout out to Dave Reiser and Andrew Tirado, who helped him on this. The track came under the name Titty Fucks Are Us. And we were like, what the hell is this?
Straight up, at first we thought it was a joke. So I'm like, oh, he probably sent us some stupid thing that somebody was recording there, and he's like, you guys got to hear this.
Yeah.
Or something. But we open it, and it's just, it's exactly what you heard, that fucking
funky shit.
Yeah, fucking funky shit. No, it was just the guitar track. He hadn't, Andrew hadn't laid down the bass line yet, but it was that whole like, and we're like, ooh. And I'm thinking to myself, as soon as I started hearing, I'm like, wait, this shit sounds serious as hell. Yo, so I hit up Dave, and I'm like, yo, is this ours? Are you like, what's going on here? And he goes, yo, Andrew Tirado went home last night, and he was just like, yo, I'm going to write a song for the fucking twins, and I'm going to go there tomorrow and record it just for fucking shits and giggles. So they end up doing it in like 2-hour process, and they lay down the track. Fun fact about that song, the guitar track and the bass track are all fully there. They are not looped.
Done in one take.
Done in one take from 4 minutes. The one, you know, once the song starts to when the song ends, those are all completely quantized, on beat, but live. So that was really cool to just be able to add that last minute to the album, which we didn't actually think was going to happen. And Dave Reiser, again, shout out to him, our mastermind behind Metanoise also, he's just like, man, I can't see you guys not putting the song on the album, let alone he had the idea to put it as the first song. So, I mean, and you could see why.
Yeah, Dave was like, man, this song sounds like an intro. And as soon as he said that, we were like, so fuck it, let's make it the intro.
So that's when we ended up moving Honey and Trees from the top of the album and ended up going down to number 6, which, you know, is a lot to explain. But yeah, man, shout out to Andrew Tirado for playing to that click track like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
beautifully done. Dave Reiser being able to mix and master. Oh, so
and just another quick thing to add to that. So when we wrote that song, we intentionally tried to write it as simple as we could because we had only one night to write the song because we had to go to the studio. We were running short on time and money to finish completing the album. So we were like, man, we got to do this fast.
So, which is what the song is about.
Yeah,
in a
if
sense.
You listen to the words of the song is about trying to write a song. And it's literally, we had gotten back home from work. We work at Domino's. Shout out to Domino's. And we got home from work, and we were tired as hell. But we had to fucking write the song. So that's why right in the beginning, you can hear me saying, like, I figured that would be a nice line, you know. And I'm talking about, oh, it's I just worked all fucking day, you know, and now I got to write a song. And that's literally the first couple of
– you ever heard Done? You know the song 25 or 64 by Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is our 25 or 64 because I don't know if you know that song was the song about writing a song. So they didn't know what to write about, and that's what came into fruition, which, again, is just a fantastic jam. So
I'm loving this album because, like I said, I know where I met you, where you guys were at. You know, you look at, we brought him up already tonight, and I hate referencing it like this, but I don't know how to be but real. You look at Mad Squabbles, and he's a tremendous lyricist, but you can't make it in the industry just being a lyricist. You know, and what bothered me with him was he wanted to do an album to ringtone rapper beats. And as you know, his father's his manager. He said, okay, I'll let you do it, but you do it all in one take. If you don't do it in one take, then we're scrapping the whole thing. Well, I got to see
exactly.
It. You know, I got to see the finished product. I got to see 4 songs, 4 videos, and I was one of 5 people. Well, one of the videos got leaked, And it got 3.7 million views in 24 hours.
Wow.
And it was taken
wow.
down. His father had it taken down, and he scrapped the whole project. You know,
really?
You got aspects in this industry that are tremendously great at what they do, but then you have aspects that are holding them down. What is it about
wow.
the label that you're with, the people that you're with, that gives you complete, full expression to your music? Because I don't see any growth in Mad Squabbles, but yet I see tremendous growth
yeah.
in both of you.
Okay, so I can't speak for Mad Squabbles' label. I can't tell you how they treat him as an artist, but I know how shady some people can get. I know everyone's just money hungry or power hungry, one or the other. So what I can tell you is Mike is neither. We all want money. We all want power. But we're not hungry for it. You know, we're just going with it because that's what you end up getting out of it. You know, we don't want that. We want to make music. We want to just make good music and make people happy. That's our goal. Yeah, do we want to make it someday? Eventually. Nonetheless, I mean, Anakian Music has literally blessed us in ways that I have never really heard record labels blessing people. I mean, very, very family-like. You know, you can
yeah.
tell he cares about us. Mike sees us as like his sons. You know, like he's like, man, I would take a bullet for these guys. You know, and the amount of time and money that he's invested in our brand, there's no way in hell I could look at him and think he's not family, Don. You know, he is a family member of mine, and also, you know, somebody like JT McKinley. That is somebody who I grew up with. You know, I've known him since sixth grade. You know, we got a strong bond in the seventh grade, and ever since then, we've been best friends. You know, we've been through shit together. I mean, shit. So I think that also made us stronger because I knew him, and we've known each other for 13-plus years. You know, so with that being said, we're family, man. I mean, it's as simple as that, man. There's nothing that's going to tear us apart.
It is kind of hard to say that because, I mean, with the example you brought up, I mean, you're talking about that's Mad Squabbles' dad. That
right.
kind of, you know, I don't right. know what happened there. Shout out to Mad Squabbles, though. I got to say, man, he is disgusting with the lyricism. And, man, you want to talk about doing a shot in one, doing a record in one take. He's definitely more than capable.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, man, you know, at the end of the day, we have, like my brother said, you know, we have people that they don't get in the way of what we're doing, you know, at all. They stay out of it. And they'll give their input. They'll say, you know, you should try this, try that. But if they see that the way that we react to it is like, no, then they stay back. And they're like, all right, well, I can't tell you how to make your own art. One of the things that I had heard Dr. Dre say one time was, would you stand over Picasso's shoulders and tell him where to put his brush strokes? And I was like, man, I mean, you can't get any more real than that. I mean, but at the same time, then I had another shout out to Rich Rossigno, who once told us, hey, you know, I mean, you could say that all you want, but somebody told Michelangelo to paint the Sistine Chapel. I sound like an idiot. The Sistine Chapel. So he's like, you know, somebody can tell you what to do, and you can make glorious art out of it. It's just at the end of the day, you know, where
about the inspiration that came?
Yeah,
from, you know,
exactly. Where's your soul right now? You know, do you feel like you're in the right place? If somebody asked you to do this, do you feel like they're taking control of your art, or do you feel like they're trying to help? You know, and it's like
obviously, if it's the prior, then you've got a problem.
Yeah, if it's the former and they're trying to change you, that's usually not that great. If it's the latter and they're giving you some room to breathe, and then man, that's where it's at. You know, every independent, especially independent labels, have figured out that the things that the major labels have struggled with the most is not allowing artists to express themselves, which is ridiculous because we're artists, and artistry is expression. So, man, if you just stay back, there was a moment, man, where Michael Katz was telling us, hey, you guys got to, you know, chill out with the smoking and stuff. He doesn't say it anymore, you know, because he realized we just didn't stop. You know, what is Mike going to do, wring us by our necks?
You know, so it's like after a while, you just got to be like, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, if these motherfuckers are still making great music, why should I tell them to stop smoking weed?
It could be a part of their problem.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that helps them do better, you know? So, man, at the end of the day, it's just that, man, that freedom of not texting me and calling me all the time, telling me to do this and try that. And
let's
know,
just say Anakin Music is very capitalist, while a lot of other record labels are very socialist.
Yeah, I don't want to get into politics.
Hey man, no, we're not going to get into politics. I did a political show last night. I'm not even down for politics today. But just to add on to what you're saying, though, before we drop a little bit of Purple Blue, man, I've been doing radio for almost 17 years now, and I've gotten high every show because, you know what, I'm like you guys, I guess. You know, my mind runs 1,000 miles an hour. I don't write down a question. Even if I don't know the guest, I really don't go and do research because I think a show should be from your heart, not scripted.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Me getting high before each and every show, it slows my mind down to where I can go from 100,000 questions to 1,000 questions. And then 9 times out of 10, what question I came up with isn't the one that comes out of my mouth. But you get what I'm saying. It would never be if I didn't get high before each and every show. With that being said, here's a little bit of Purple Blue, and don't mute me, I'll mute you.
I will not mute you this time.
With a lot of those, ignorance is bliss, but that's only to those who are it. But in your defense, the attribute of thought is for an artist, a plan devised, an enemy to figure it, a soul inside and an entity to trigger it. Get on my level and you'll see what I'm referencing. Relishing inside the premise, kiss the bread of Elohim. Lingering steps embedded in the sand, I recall. Remember walking hand in hand with you in Shangri-La. A new perspective, the knowledge of perception. Spectating, see how special the spot is inside the spectrum.
I got to tell you, every track you listen to my listeners, especially if you're very cognitive in music whatsoever, you hear James Brown in one of the tracks. That track right there, I kind of feel a little bit like Sly and the Family Stone, a little give back to them. Would you say that's a fair perspective listening to just that little sample?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I could definitely appreciate that. Yeah, and it's funny because I wouldn't really know, like, where the – to be completely honest with you, and this is going to sound so dumb. I mean, actually, no pun intended, you'll see why. But when I wrote that song, the vibe that I had in my head, and it's going to sound, again, really stupid. It's almost not even going to make sense. But was Beavis and Butthead. When I was writing my verse, I had this idea of Metanoise. I mean, we're going to end up getting it tatted on us one day. We believe we're like the Beavis and Butthead of music or life. We just love the idea that we could just sit back and kind of like observe everything and then make fun of it.
Analyze music.
Analyze everything and then make fun of it. And not that that's what the song is about. But it was almost the cockiness that I went into it with, was like this, just, I don't give a fuck. So that's kind of why I went in there with like this, almost like an, like you said, like a James Brown or like almost like an Andre 3000 kind of like, nah, yeah. I feel that, you know, and just go into it, you know, because it was just this like, I don't give a fuck, MTV kind of like trippy fucking psychedelic vibe that I was going for. And yeah, so, you know, shout out to Beavis and Butt.
Shout out to my judge.
No, it's weird. Man. It's a weird
Beavis
explanation, but it's the truth. Sometimes
you
got to be careful what you ask artists.
Oh, I know. I already know, man. But you know what? You guys. You guys play well with each other on stage. You play to the camera, you play to the fans. This album right here, man, I got to tell you, man, Retro Waves, I think this is probably going to be one of your most fun aspects in front of people. I think it's going to be one of the truest forms of you on stage. I think this is going to be a part of you that comes alive and really feel the music, and I think you're going to give the fans truly what they came to see. I think this is the rebirth of Metanoise in a different aspect. Would you say that that falls into that category?
100%. So, I mean, first off, again, COVID fucked everything up because we just released this album, and I'm itching to get on a stage and perform it. And it's so crazy because it's like we're not doing it to show off. I perform because I'm literally like going on the stage and doing what I do in my room, you know? I'm like singing my song and dancing and having a good time. That's what it feels like every time, you know? So it's like I've been itching to do that. But yes, this is 100% what we would consider almost a rebirthing of Metanoise. I would call it the Lotus Flower of Metanoise. This album is a representation of the Lotus Flower of Metanoise, a dying and coming back to life and in a new form, new fashion, the caterpillar, the pimple butterfly, if you will.
Well, what's interesting enough about it was originally it was supposed to be an EP, and it was only supposed to be 7 songs, and that was the goal. The goal was to do Lemniscate EP, and then it was going to be Waves was originally the name, and then we turned it to Retro Waves, but it was going to be Waves EP. And what that was actually supposed to do was complete our logo, because our logo has the Lemniscate in the middle, and then it has the sound waves coming out of it. So we were kind of like setting a narrative so that we can set ourselves up for our debut album. The next album was supposed to be our LP. The next album was supposed to be our debut album.
Right.
And again, we didn't expect it. God had different plans, and this album ended up being our LP. It ended up being the album that we've always wanted to make, and to me, it's nothing less than an absolute fucking masterpiece. And I'm not. I wish I was being biased, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I honestly, I want to come to New York, man. I want to see. Once this 2020's gone to shit, man. I'm looking forward to 2021, and I think it's really going to be the year of Metanoise. You know, I just. Listening to this LP, it really is who you are. I know you guys are short on time. I know we got about 3 minutes before the hour mark, but do you guys mind if I play a little bit of 40-40-40 so I can let the world see the
correlation?
Absolutely
not. You
could
play the whole thing.
All right, let's go ahead. we'll play it then. We'll go ahead and play 6 minutes and 51 seconds. Here we go.
The mic to your lips, time to cipher. I just took a nice hit, now I'm feeling hyper. Chilling with my vipers, most of us delinquents. Frequently tripping up your mind with the sequence. Rappers getting seasick, they can't keep up with the flow. Yo, did you know I've been floating to the pinnacle? See his throat choking, your squad's embarrassed. Leave your doors open, I'ma rob you like Ligaris. Manipulation gets the best of your mental. Faces eating up your chest like you're smoking mental. Weapon is a pencil, got him tracing back like a stencil. Grinding every night like dental. Picked up the rental, had to choose a Cadillac. Old school rappers back, do the cabbage patch. Right after that, I'ma hit you with the 1-2. Mike, chickity check, we don't need to do a run through. I don't need to punch you, I could just stun you with my rhymes and my puns, dude. I'm just having fun,
don't taste me, bro.
Crazy, yo, I forgot my camera. Look, ma, I'm on the radio. Hi, America, flip flops, tube socks, please pull your trunks up. Homie brought the boombox, brother got the trunk up. If you think it's too hot, sucker, go and kick rocks. This is hip hop,
can we please turn the funk up? Y'all probably find me at the party. Probably trying to be Addy, but Jay and Izzy got me some Bacardi. And while we lolly
little mommy, just call me Bobby. She asked me, can you rap? Cause everybody's so poppy. I said, well, don't go rocky on me like Nike will knock me out, but I would actually like to knock you up. However, I'm a sissy wissy waiting for my missy. Your sissy just asked me, what is with me? Is she trying to diss me? Whatever, baby, just kiss me. She'll throw a hissy fit, we'll make our way back to your crib and then ditch you so you can miss me. Told you not to mess with me. I thought we had something in common, you ain't with me. Well, anyway, I see the number one spot's empty. Looks like they want a hip-hop MC. Well, then I'm the guy who has the mind. Now's the time to rap the rhyme.
Check, two-step in, Pepe Le Pew flexing. Never had much green on my scene that could use dressing. Knew I've been the deuces, boost clues, ain't loose. Seven big shoes to peruse, thought you knew that the boot stretching. Your crew necking this weather reduced senses. Quotes colder than the shoulders of soldiers with new X's. X up on my back, you can see that the youth stressing. Addicted to they vice seeking gin like they new Tekken. A martial law that's knocking on your door. Searching for alignment like the comets with the dinosaurs. I just want the green arena beef, I'm not an omnivore. Connoisseur, that's connoisseur. Searching for the comic cause, rivers is I. Figure with some figures that could fill up a river. I could be richer and die. Fishing for a vision like a fisherman's eye. But the minute show my wishes like a Christmas deprive. It's like Grinch stove and Poe before we know the lows get cold. Couldn't afford the coat, trying to float. Head above water, the boat's been soaked. Searching for hope, people find it, then they overdose. Hold it close, spirit like the Holy Ghost. Cause I feel I lost my soul inside of all these quotes. Giving into peer pressure, the fit letters won't bring better than string letters flipping burgers for a pin dresser. So I should write what I think I should write. I should fight when I think I should fight. Why should you control my actions when it's I who will be living my life? But people still dying for sleep, so you should figure the price. I'm worth more than a pair of J's or laces on night. I'm worth Mike sharper than a barber lacing them right. They wanna take what we have left, so they taking our rights. Never sleep, but what's the dreams that you'll be chasing tonight? It's so important. Mama trying and said never give up on hoping to fly, and there's still more marriages than divorces. Living the day our courses, winners the day our losses. You're either winning or learning, so losing is just the courses. Of course, it's the high horses right there. You can't tell me nothing. You can't smell me potting up, pine up, or the rock, trying to live in the casa. Hopping out the Uber rider, taking trips in a chopper. Ripper.
Okay, time to hit a second one. Blessing young, best to come. I won't make your reverend run. Terrified, it is verified that you're scared to die. Clarify, I am the one who's the paradigm. Sweet Caroline, good rhymes never seem so good, but they should. When I speak, I'm not misunderstood. On the platform, people want amazing, so I rap form. I'm following the rich like at Warren Buffett, but I'm not trying to covet. You know I ain't of it. I'm trying to spread love, kid. Hey, good stuff, kid. You got the juice now. You see what I just did? I just summoned Zeus down, crown and befriend. He descends from Mount Olympus. Third, I am at a noisy, you're so with this. Won't you come and hit this while it's still cheering? Why the beat is blaring? Who is she staring at? Bring the beat back, let me go and rap to her. Bring the seat back, try to hold you with the fasten. And now let me stop, grab a bow. Oh, you roll?
Yeah.
Lick it real slow, get the sticky on your nose. I suppose you a pro, cause this is a legitimate role. Talking a little bit low, and now that cinnamon toast. Do you even care who I am, what I will become? She just exhaled, took my hand, said,
you're still the one.
Look at the time already, 4:20. Opened up my mind to open the door gently. Is she meant for me? I began to ask the question while I ran around the car, my heart racing. Did I mention a good Samaritan? Arrogant man for an American woman. Embarrassing kiss, she let slide. Caravan.
A paradigm?
She said it's something that we're used to. That's why I introduced you. Yes, and we both produced too. Executively, I threw one second-handedly. I can't believe I do what I do. It's such a fantasy. My sanity remains, she says.
Your brain is out your element.
I told her there's a thin line between being intelligent and being insane. I think I lean toward the latter. She asked me for a reason, though. It didn't matter. Well, we bought four onions for the homies, and then we celebrated. Why couldn't we save it? Cause you knew we made it.
Like the Holy Ghost. just see why funk is gonna shake ya. 40 40 40.
See, the reason I played that is because that's, you know, A, I get rid of most of the music out of my studio, bro, after I do a show, because I'm only allowed so many, you know, slots for music in my station. But yet I still got Meta Noise. I'm not going to lie, man. I still got Bravo. I still got Forever. I got everything, bro. I'm a Meta Noise
nice.
Man. But the reason I played that was because you guys are redefining hip-hop. And that's what I think I've always loved about you, is your love and your passion for, you know, the true aspect of music. But you've evolved. And you've done this project. I got to tell you, Retro Waves ZLP is probably one of the most diverse aspects I've seen out of any musician in quite a while. You know, it's a project that I think you both should be very proud of. And, bruh, I think I might even come back to Jamaica and Queens. Like I said I would never come back because some of the situations that happened at that venue that night. But I would come back for Retro Waves. I can't wait to see you guys perform that on stage. You know, but
absolutely.
I wanted to show the growth and your love for true hip-hop. And the artistry that you devour yourself in. You know, this is one of the greatest projects I think I've seen out of you guys. What does it mean for you to give the world a whole new taste of Meta Noise?
Man, I mean, you know, again,
breath of fresh air, man.
Yeah, you know, it has been a lot, you know. It's been a lot, again, for humanity. You know, this year has been a lot for humanity. My brother and I couldn't wait. I mean, we've been stirring this pot for how long, you know? And we've been waiting to serve people new, hot, fresh. People are eating the same cold leftovers, and they're like, God, it's still so good, but it's cold, and I just want to – I need something
it's
fresh.
It's crazy, too, because most of the time people are kind of egging us to make an album. But with this one, with Lem Miskit, a lot of the people were saying, you know, I'm still listening to Lem Miskit. I actually had one of our friends who told us that, you know, after we dropped Retro Waves, shout out to Lorenzo, who's going to be playing on stage with us one day at Madison Square Garden. Yep. You know, he ended up hitting us up and he's like, hey, I love the album and stuff. Just giving you guys the heads up, I'm going to be listening to this album for years. And then he's like, because I still listen to Lem Miskit. And I think that right there was the most incredible aspect of dropping this album, was we were trying to create something that was timeless, and we did it.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just super proud of that, you know, and thank you for congratulating us on making this album, because, man, you know, I'm super proud of it. This is like, I honestly, I can't tell you how many times I straight up cried listening to my own project.
Oh, yeah, like a little fucking baby.
Yeah, I mean, and every time I'm like, thank you, God, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted people to hear. And it is. It is a manifestation of Meta Noise. It's a manifestation of Katum and Katus, and it's definitely a manifestation of Kevin and Kenneth Santiago.
And don't forget the motherfucking Poconos.
Right. We got to throw the Poconos in, because there ain't very many of you coming out of the Poconos throwing this kind of fire, bruh. I mean, there's not.
Uh-huh.
You know, you guys make me want to enjoy music again. I mean, and I'm not just saying that because you're on my show, but you bring back what I enjoy as a 56-year-old man. You bring back my younger years. You know, your music is tearing up the scene with, you know, the younger generation. But that's what I've noticed about your music. It's multi-generational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people absolutely. Like me, we can sit back and we can enjoy it. Where, honestly, like I said earlier, bro, I Drake and Kendrick Lamar and all that's not music. You know, that's not music to me. This is music. This is true artistry.
Yes.
And to me, that's a rarity, because if you can touch multi genres, then you're doing it right.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That, That is tremendous because, man, I could play that with my family. I could play that with my boys. I could play that anywhere I go, and everybody's going to enjoy it. Like you said, you wanted to make feel-good music. You wanted to make music that would make people dance. Well, bruh, both you have succeeded. You truly have, man. With that being said, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Both of you are, God, you just keep blowing my mind. You keep blowing my mind time and time again. And that's what life is about. That is what progression is about, people. I suggest you go and you get this album because I'm stoked. Thank you, Michael Katz, for sending me the whole album because every bit of it is just as good as the beginning of it, man. From start to finish, it's just off the hook. You know, where can people, you know, it's on every major platform, but I'm going to turn the mic over to you guys and kind of let people know where they can get it, how they can get it, and what's next for Metanoise.
Man, okay, so I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. Obviously, you can get it on all major platforms, like Don McGuire said, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, YouTube, you pretty much name it. I think it might even
Tidal.
Be, yeah, it might be on Tidal too. It's on all major platforms right now, so get it while you can, while it's hot. Retro Waves. But besides that, what the future holds for Metanoise, we're going to definitely be coming out with merchandise soon, so keep an eye out for that.
Yep, merchandise. We're going to be working on music videos for this shit.
Got a few music videos coming out. We also have a documentary that we're working on that should be, God willing, coming out by the end of this year, so keep a lookout for that.
Yes.
And then,
last but not least, but we're also just going to be working on just other stuff on the side. I don't want to say too much, but let's say it's going to be a live show that we're kind of working on. Kind of like a podcast, we'll say.
Yeah.
And that's
dope.
Also a shout-out to Rock Hard Studios, where we did the album Retro Waves. He's got something cooking over there that he's really excited about, and he wants us to be a part of it. So we'll see. You know, stay tuned.
The future can only get brighter, right? That's just fire, bro. I'm glad things are happening for you and popping off for you. You know, when Michael reached out to me, I was stoked. And you guys came on the show, and you were just as generous as you always have been. And you're open, and you shared who you are with my listeners. And as long as you do that, man, everybody has a good time. That's what life's supposed to be about. Where can my listeners find you guys on social media? Because, as you know, since the last time you were on the show has grown immensely. And I'm sure a lot of people want to listen to you.
Yeah. Okay, so the beauty of our name, Metanoise, is that nobody else in the world is using it. So all of our handles are @Metanoise. So if you want to find us on fucking, you want to search us up on TikTok, try @Metanoise. We don't have a TikTok. But you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, fucking Twitter, YouTube. Everything is either going to be @Metanoise or /Metanoise. Hey, if worse comes to worse, you type in on Google Metanoiz all together and you'll be set. Yep. That's all we have to say, bro.
Well, it's definitely. I got one more question, if you don't mind. First and foremost, I want to thank Michael Katz again. Tremendous man and a beautiful soul, man, and a real brother in life. But now you guys made me forget what else. I got talking about Michael and I got lost because, man, he's just a rare form of a human being. He truly is, and I love the guy to death. But I can't wait to be able to get you guys back on the show again. I forgot what I was going to ask you on my way out the door. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you now. I apologize, man. Any future collabs when you guys do take this on the road?
Okay, so that's a good question. We usually like to keep kind of tight-lipped about that stuff, but we have been in discussion with a few artists here and there and whatnot. Definitely one of them definitely being Chris Rivers. You can't not work with that man again.
Yeah, I mean, we're not saying we have anything set up with him.
No.
You know, we don't want to give you the wrong idea, but we have definitely discussed doing features.
But we're going to give it a little bit of time, just because we want, you know, we want this album to kind of like, you know, resonate, sit out, let people listen to it for a little bit. And, but in the process, dude, we're always working on new music and stuff. So we don't really know where we're going to go next. We really can't tell you. I can't tell you. I wish I could. But if there's any feature that is going to be on our album, it is going to be God. Now, let me stop. No, honestly, man, I don't know. It could be anybody at this point. Honestly, if they're, you know, if they're like up there and they're doing it and they're major, hit us up. We're going to do some features, bro. But honestly, locally, we're not really looking for any features at the moment. But, you know, in due time.
When the time comes, trust me.
Ladies and gentlemen, two of my famous, most enjoyable, insanely ridiculous, rhyming twin stars, Metanoise. Brothers, thank you for coming on the show. I'll let you get back to work. I appreciate you coming and sharing a bit of you with the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get that album, Retro Waves LP. It dropped on July 20th. I've listened to it. Trust me, it's not a waste of money. You're going to gain a whole lot of fun with a little bit of money. Brothers, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I can't wait to have you back on again, man. Much love and peace, bro.
No, thank you so much for having us on the show, Don. We respect you so much, man, and we love doing interviews with you, man.
Yeah.
Until next time, man. Grace and peace, brother.
Grace and peace, bro. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Caden and Caden from Metanoise. I'm telling you people, man, you got to go get Retro Waves LP. Shit's sick. I don't usually push for a product on my show, but I got to tell you, that right there, that's probably one of my most favorite albums in the last 10 years. But we're going to take you out with a little bit of something different. We're going to go back a little bit of old school with my boy, Mystical. On that note, have a good night, and God bless.